I know we don't have any Jack in the Boxes in the. You got to go all the way to Kansas City to get Jack in the Box. Right?
Yeah, it's a fast food chain. For
yeah, those aren't familiar. It's really good.
It's tasty.
Yeah, they got some amazing tacos there. Well, they're not really tacos. They're kind of they call them tacos, but they're kind of their own thing. The CEO of the fast food chain or the fast food restaurant chain Jack in the Box said it just makes sense to replace cashiers with robots due to the minimum wage increase in California.
Yep.
Yeah, it makes sense.
It's so frustrating because we were getting story after story after story of all these companies that are making these decisions that are beneficial to their employees and customers based on the tax reform bill, and then you see state governments and city governments like Minneapolis and St. Paul imposing all these things on businesses that are harmful. And look, businesses react to these types of government codes. If you make decisions that increase their revenue, it benefits their employees, their shareholders, and their customers. If you make decisions and pass laws that are harmful to their revenue, it hurts their employees, their customers, and their shareholders. Jack in the Box says California's raising the minimum wage. Okay, well, we're going to replace our cashiers with robots. Customers don't care.
Nope.
If they have to go up and talk to a person to get their burger, fries, and soda, or if they have to push some buttons on a touchscreen, they don't care as long as they're getting their burger, their fries, and their soda. We do have a couple calls before we get to Katie Pavlich. Do you want to take those first? You want to go right to Katie?
Let's go right to Katie. Good morning, Katie.
Good morning.
Fox News contributor, editor at townhall.com. How are we doing this morning?
Good. I have to say that my favorite fast food tacos are Jack in the Box tacos. So.
Yeah, we don't have them here in Minnesota.
Yeah.
We don't have them on the East Coast either, but they did have them in Tucson. And I spent many a late night in college going through the Jack in the Box taco lane.
It's a good. Those are good late night eats.
Yeah, tasty stuff. Let's just. Hey, Katie, would you mind grabbing a few of these phone calls with us? Sure. We were talking last hour about the soda tax in Seattle. And how the city council members were attempting to go and they actually came out directly and said, we want to regulate people's behavior by jacking up the prices on soda. And Costco went and kind of threw back in their faces by posting huge banners, big poster boards in their locations showing the increase in prices.
And where you can go and get them cheaper. We got Andrew actually calling in from Seattle. Good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, Andrew. Welcome to Twin Cities News Talk. What are your thoughts this morning?
Okay. Sorry, I have to step out. What I wanted to say is a couple things. So Seattle, you have to recognize, is trying to do the most craziest thing from a progressive standpoint because they're trying to outdo San Francisco and New York. So they're going to do something super-duper crazy to try to get their name out there as the most progressive place to be. Now, one thing to consider is that when you think about Costco, I have a lot of friends that work for Costco, and I actually just moved here to Minnesota about 2 months ago, West Seattle. Costco is a Washington State company. So I have a lot of friends who told me in advance they were going to do this as a way of doing a kind of a middle finger to Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the biggest arguments is that Seattle, you have to remember, Starbucks is there. And the argument was, if you're going to tax these really sugary soda drinks, how can we not go in after the coffee drinks that are double the sugar as the soda?
That's a great point. Are they not applying the tax to just retail drinks that you can get from a Starbucks or a coffee place? Nope. Is it only on the canned soda that you get from like stores and convenience stores?
That is correct.
That's crazy.
That's correct. You know why? Is because people would throw riots and burn couches in the streets of Seattle because Seattle is, you know, the coffee capital of the U.S.
Right.
So they're
right.
Not even going to touch that because they don't want to piss off their base in Seattle.
Wow.
So the question is, if you're going to go after the sodas, why aren't you going to go after the expensive coffees that are double the sugar of the sodas?
Thanks for the
that's awesome.
Thanks for the call, Andrew. You know, Katie, we were talking earlier that it used to be that when these leaderships in these different locations would try to go about doing this, they tried to hide it a little bit. They didn't try to be so upfront and forward and honest about it. I do have a level of appreciation for Seattle for those city council members coming directly out and saying, yes, we are directly trying to go and change the behaviors via regulation of our citizens.
I mean, being honest about it is always helpful. But again, as your caller just pointed out, this is about liberals in these cities making themselves feel better about doing something that actually does nothing, especially since they're just simply targeting canned soda when, as your caller pointed out, Starbucks drinks, if you go for the Frappuccino, are extremely loaded with sugar. And the point is that people are still going to buy them, mm-hmm. and businesses are going to sell them. And in New York, they decided, you know, the judge threw it out when Bloomberg decided he was going to, you know, ban the big cups or whatever. And the judge threw out the case because he was saying that it was so ridiculous that they were having all these different standards for soda. So, it's, again, the government trying to meddle in like a very, on a very individual level of, you know, sugar content. And it's just ridiculous. And by the way, if you want to talk about obesity in this country and sugar content, maybe they should start with the subsidies that we give sugar farmers and the fact that we've been subsidizing sugar for decades, which is why sugar is in everything that we have.
Yeah.
In everything. And it's because the government makes it so cheap.
Switching gears, let's talk a little bit about, we'd like to get your thoughts on the President Donald Trump meeting with the Democrats and Republicans from the Senate over immigration. We played a bunch of audio from it yesterday. Both of us found it really fascinating to see this insight. And, you know, also we're impressed with President Donald Trump and the way that he commanded that room. How much impact has that had? What have you seen? What's been sort of in the 24 hours since that meeting, now a little bit more than that, what has been sort of the biggest takeaway in your opinion from that particular meeting, and do you think it's going to, you know, end up resulting in legislation?
Well, the first thing was, it was the first time since President Trump got elected that we actually saw him being praised by Democrats. After the meeting, they came out to what they call the stakeout, and Bob Menendez, for example, senator from New Jersey, Democrat, praised Donald Trump for the meeting. And that is not something that we've seen at all in the last year. We've seen the resistance. We've seen, you know, standing up to every single thing he's done. And in terms of the results of this, yesterday, a few House Republicans introduced their own bill with the standards that the White House laid out in that meeting. I think it's going to be difficult for Democrats to say that they're not going to vote for this, since it does fix DACA in exchange for security in the form of border security and, you know, interior enforcement and visas and issues like that. They've already voted for things like this. There's a 2006 Defense Act. The Gang of Eight bill would have gotten rid of chain migration and the visa lottery program. So Democrats have already gone for what's already in this piece of legislation, but I'm not so confident that will prevent them from trying to make this more of a political issue, because they like to use it as a hammer against Republicans. And there's an election coming up.
Well, and there seemed to be some assumptions that Trump's base was going to be upset over the meeting and some of the concessions being made. And so far, just anecdotally, it doesn't seem like that's the case. It seems like that there's a big chunk of Trump's base that is okay as long as border security gets done. And Trump, even in that meeting, changed. It was one of the few times and one of the first times where you heard him talk about the wall, but then he broke that up. Meaning the wall in certain portions, also security. And there's been a lot of assumptions that the base was going to be upset, and that doesn't seem to be the case.
Well, I don't know. I think that some people are worried that, again, Republicans will, you know, give in to these concessions of doing a deal because Congress is up against a deadline on DACA, and then the border security portion of it won't follow. And Trump has talked about before the wall, you know, being in places where they can actually build it. And he's talked about mountains being the barrier at certain parts of the border. But he did have to clarify repeatedly yesterday what he meant in terms of the wall, what he meant in terms of the legislation. Because he said in that meeting, I will sign anything that you guys come up with,
mm-hmm.
meaning I'm going to sign anything. And the question was, well, does that mean if there's not a wall in the legislation that you will sign it? And he had to repeatedly clarify, I will sign anything that has a wall in it and a DACA fix.
Right.
So there was some concern about what he actually meant.
Yeah, it's that mixed messages. You know, I mean, when he finishes the meeting out by saying, I trust you guys and whatever you come up with, even if it's got stuff that I don't like in it, I'll sign it. But then the next day, you know, yesterday with the Norwegian prime minister, the first question he was asked was about that. And he said, no, it's got to have the wall in it. Got to have wall funding.
Right. And he tweeted about it, too, which makes me think that, you know, people weren't sure about what he meant. And Stephen Miller, who's the top aide on immigration, or legal immigration, rather, actually went so far as to taking certain lines that he said about DACA compromises out of the official meeting transcript, which is ridiculous, and ended up putting it back in.
Yeah.
So they clearly thought it was a problem.
Yeah,
that's the frustrating part of this presidency is little instances like that. It's like he did that meeting was remarkable and it was fascinating, and I thought Trump came out of that meeting looking really good, and then they make a couple of unforced errors and blunders coming out of it.
Right, and it's just silly. And the other thing too is he gets ahead of himself, and again yesterday has to go into how much praise he was getting for the meeting. And it's like, yes, but people can see these people praising you. You don't have to point it out. You know, it's like, if you're really good at something, you don't have to tell people you're really good at it because other people do it for you, kind of thing. That's what people were doing for him for the first time on the left side of the aisle, and yet he had to then go there and kind of ruin it, unfortunately.
Well, when we discussed it earlier, and we played the clip from of President Trump talking to Schumer in that meeting. You know, I get it when people get frustrated at how open to interpretation it is because it is. I, watching that meeting and sort of my own version and vision of what was supposed to take place, assumed that when he's talking to Democrats about I'll sign anything, that was because he knows the power structure that's in Congress and that they're going to have to do border security on the GOP side of things. But I also do understand that you can't be that nuanced. You do have to be specific, you know, because when you're not, you do end up in the circumstance where people get confused and take it at face value, and unfortunately that's not the way that Washington, D.C. works.
Well, I mean, let's not act like they can't move the goalposts, right? Like,
right.
You can say, I will sign anything you come up with, and then when they come up with something, go, yeah, you know, let's negotiate a little more on
except for
the
that.
Aspects of this. So that happens, too. We're still at the beginning, even though they're in crunch time to get this thing done.
Talking with Katie Pavlich. So give us your take on, so Senator Dianne Feinstein, sneaky Dianne Feinstein, released the full transcript of the Fusion GPS co-founder Glenn Simpson's testimony to the Senate Judiciary Committee regarding the Russian interference in the 2016 election. You know, some of the highlights, apart from the one part of it, and we keep mentioning it, where where the comment was made that somebody's already died because of this, there didn't appear to be, at least from what we looked at, to be a whole lot in this. Was there anything in this? What's your take, and why and your thoughts on why she ended up releasing this the way that she did?
I think she released it as kind of a jab at Republicans. It was more like a political statement than anything else. In terms of what we learned, I think we learned that Glenn Simpson didn't want to answer a lot of questions. We also learned that this testimony that was given behind closed doors was not under oath, although Glenn Simpson was reminded alongside his attorney that it is illegal to give Congress false information. There are multiple, if you read through the transcript, which is 300 plus pages long, there are multiple occasions where we don't want to answer the question. They refuse to reveal any of their sources. They claim someone was killed as a result of the dossier being published, but I don't know. I don't want to downplay that. You're dealing with the Russian government,
right?
So, you know, they're notorious for killing people because they want to. However, why then, if they were so concerned about this thing being published, were they shopping it to dozens of reporters last year? So there's just a lot of things that didn't add up in terms of what they were saying, and a lot of questions that they just refused to answer about who their clientele was, whether they were in contact with the FBI, whether they had ever promised a client that their research and investigation would prompt an FBI investigation of a political opponent who they were working against. So I think that we, you know, learn more about what he wasn't willing to do rather than what he was.
Yeah, we'll run through some of the highlights coming up. One more just quick question for you, Katie. And the Washington Post reported that female Democratic lawmakers are working to keep the spotlight on the issue of sexual harassment, and they're inviting their colleagues to wear black to President Trump's State of the Union address at the end of the month. Trying to, you know, sort of putting politics aside and partisanship. Is this the appropriate venue of which to keep the hashtag MeToo movement, especially when it comes to Washington, D.C.? Is this the right move for these female lawmakers to take?
I mean, if you don't say yes, you're accused of not taking sexual harassment seriously, right? So it's like, well, I guess every venue is a good venue to stand up against sexual harassment and abuse. But I don't necessarily think that it comes in good faith, especially from Democrats. You just asked me not to make this political, but I feel like I can't make it political.
Right.
I read a whole book about how Democrats are total hypocrites on this issue. They're the, you know, they're like lying in the bed that they've made for 30, 40 years. They're the ones who glorified Ted Kennedy. They're the ones who allowed Bill Clinton to behave however he wanted, so long as he voted the right way or supported abortion. You know, in Hollywood, the same way. They've created an environment in Hollywood that was so anti, you know, decency and modesty and values, and now all of a sudden they're outraged over the consequences of putting sleeves out every single day for 30 years.
And look, I mean, you don't have to go as far back as a month ago to see their hypocrisy on display. And, you know, when Al Franken finally decided that he was going to resign, announced that he was going to resign, immediately you saw regret. Last week, we talked about a story about a major Democratic donor who's looking at withholding donations to any Democrat who called for Al Franken to resign. So the hypocrisy is on full display.
Yeah, and I just don't, you know, I get very frustrated because there are problems with sexual harassment and abuse. And just because someone isn't proven guilty in a court of law doesn't mean that they've not done something wrong. On the other side of it, it doesn't mean that we can't just throw due process out the window because women lie sometimes. We've seen evidence of that repeatedly on a national stage and in cases that don't get as much attention. And so these stupid, let's wear everyone wear black, you know, times up hashtag movement after years and decades, and as you just mentioned, just last month, of promoting this, doesn't solve any kinds of problems to actually bring justice, real justice, to women who are true victims of this. And I think that's the most frustrating part of this for people who have either gone through it or watch it or want this to be cleaned up. I just don't see an end to it considering the attitude surrounding it.
Katie Pavlich, when can people see you on TV again?
I will be on Outnumbered today and tomorrow, so we'll see you there.
Awesome. Hey, thank you so much, as always, for the time and the extended time this morning. Katie Pavlich from Fox News, we appreciate
it. Friday Eve.
We'll talk to you again real soon. All right, coming up, we will give you some of those highlights from the Fusion GPS dossier. And New St. Paul...
For what they are.
Yeah, for what they are. A couple of different things to dive into. New St. Paul mayor faces his first test.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. But this is the kind of thing that they should be dealing with. Not national anthem stuff. This type of stuff. We'll do all of that.
Ah.
It's the John Justice and Sam show.
Trump tweets.
Trump tweets. Trump tweets. Yeah, yeah.
Trump tweets.
Trump tweets. He always tweets. What now?
Oh, over here.
Drew's still here. He's right over there.
1 hour ago, President of the United States tweeted, House votes on controversial FISA Act today. This is the act that may have been used with the help of the discredited and phony dossier to so badly surveil and abuse the Trump campaign by the previous administration and others, question mark. It wasn't a question, but he put a question mark at the end.
Well, you know.
Maybe the question part was, like, and others?
I wish he'd do the more of the emoji route. Like, I really like the shoulder shrug, palms up, head tilt one. I like, I'm a big fan of that one and the face palm. I probably use that one and the question mark, would you think, probably too often. I wish he'd use more of those.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll pass that along through the proper channels. We'll send that request in. That was an hour ago. And then about 8 minutes ago, he threaded that tweet. He replied to it. And said, with that being said...
Oh, okay. Clarification.
Okay. With that being said, I have personally directed the fix to the unmasking process since taking office, and today's vote is about foreign surveillance of foreign bad guys on foreign land. We need it. Get smart. So it feels like he sent out the first tweet. Like he did the thing where you just read the headline.
Right, okay.
And react.
Right.
And then later on, he was like, oh, this one.
Sort of the instinctive reaction.
This is the... I'm in favor of this one.
Right.
This vote. Because it's about foreign surveillance, foreign bad guys, and foreign land.
Gotcha. Right. Well, it's good to have the clarification.
Yeah. The point is the problem is the FISA court is absolutely and unequivocally abused and probably needs to go away altogether.
Yeah. I agree.
Get rid of it altogether.
You should tweet that. And then do the altogether question mark, and then do the emoji of the shoulder shrug.
But I'm not going to reply to Donald. I don't understand all these people. Like if you open up one of Donald Trump's tweets, you immediately see a million response. Who's responding to the president? Who's like replying to the president, thinking it might get read?
There's a thing on a lot of message boards where when a new article, and there's a lot in pop culture stuff, movie and music, but when somebody posts an article. And there's a thing that goes around on YouTube as well, where someone will go first, because they'll be the first ones to comment, right? It's first.
Yeah, it feels like that has gone away.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Except when it comes to Trump when he tweets. There's very much a first. Which one is it going to be? I'm convinced they have to be robots. They have to be bots. Bots, not robots. That's really funny. No, they have to be bots, because they pop up so fast, so many of them. I mean, you can tell a lot of them that are bots, but I have to think a majority of them have to be bots. And what pleasure do you get to responding and putting your comment?
Here's the thing. I think a lot of people have done a very unhealthy thing with their lives, and that is turn on notifications for Donald Trump tweets.
True.
That's a very unhealthy thing for a lot of people. Not everybody. Everybody that does it. Some people do it for entertainment purposes. But a lot of people who hate Trump and who live in this constant state of just trauma right now because Trump is president have turned on notification and are reading every single tweet and reacting to every single tweet that he sends. And you should stop. It's just friendly advice. It'll be better for you, better for your life. You'll be a happier person if you just disengage a little bit.
I agree. If you're not, and this isn't a dig on anybody, but if you're not used to seeing that or being exposed to something like that, if you haven't dealt with it for years and years, like we have, I can see how that would be difficult. Like before
advanced political consumers.
And it's not advanced. No, it's just having to do radio for as long as we have and dealing with people saying and doing things. You'd like to think that we've developed a thicker skin in that regard. But if you're not used to doing that, if you're not used to seeing that, it would be hard. I remember when the first premieres and the press screening for The Last Jedi came out, I turned on notifications for a whole bunch of individuals who were going to be seeing the movie, who I know from different podcasts and YouTube movie shows. I turned on the notifications because I wanted to see what their first reactions were to the film. Mm-hmm. But then I was inundated before that with a whole bunch of anti-right, anti-Trump stuff that I was, I had to go and turn it all off. So, yeah, I can imagine that would be difficult.
Yeah. It's just, it's not, you don't need to hinge on what the president says and what he tweets that much. You just don't. It doesn't affect your life as much as you think it does. You're just letting it become a major part of your life, and it's causing you angst, and it's causing you anger, and just let it go.
Those that, listen. Just
turn off notifications.
If you're listening. Okay?
You can even unfollow him if you want.
Yeah. Look, if you're
listening. He won't notice.
If you're listening, it's okay. It's okay that he won't be. If you don't like Trump, right? If you loathe this president, we're here to Justice and Drew along with Sam. We're here to tell you he won't be president forever.
Nope.
And when it's over, okay, we'll all still be here. Your life as you know it right now will probably be largely the same that it is. It's okay. It's okay.
Chances are, if political history continues in this cyclical fashion, he will be succeeded either the next term or the term after by a Democrat. Yeah. You'll have your Democrat back in the White House.
It could be Oprah.
It could be Oprah.
You could look forward. I like to look forward to things. My whole life is what's the next thing that I can go and look forward to.
Might have President Oprah.
You could. Or President
in
Warren.
Your lifetime.
Yeah. Or even, President Franken. Yeah.
Go turn on notifications for Oprah's tweets.
Yeah, do that. I'm sure she tweets lovely things. Just, you just all need to,
she even on
need
Twitter?
To calm down. You need to calm down, right?
Yeah, I'm gonna see if I don't know if Oprah is on Twitter.
Yeah, I don't ever remember Oprah being commented on in a story based on her tweets.
Well, I'm looking at her timeline right now to see if there's anything.
Does she tweet often?
No, she hasn't tweeted in 6 days.
Wow, that's a long time.
Of course, her home is on fire, so.
Not still.
Well.
No, it's mudslides.
But, oh, is it?
It was mudslides.
Well, 6 days ago she tweeted, first day, we need an Oprah tweets bed.
I have an idea. I have one. Not a bed,
Oprah,
but it's a
tweets.
It's a
she sometimes tweets.
It's a soundbite we can use for Oprah.
6 days ago, she tweeted, first day back home, still smelling smoke, but grateful to have a home to come to.
Oh, it did catch fire.
Little firefighters.
Okay, yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah, well, maybe it was her pants when she said she was thinking about running. Dad jokes. please. Just do me in. Just kill me now. I deserved so much more than that for that one. Thank the good Lord. Thank you, Lord, for having whoever called in right now to have Sam be on the phone when I did that joke.
So she could not respond.
Thank you so much for whoever that is. I'm so greatly appreciated. Hi, Sam.
Hi.
All right. Let's go here. Senator Dianne Feinstein, as we were talking about with Katie Pavich a moment ago, released a full transcript of the Fusion GPS co-founder Glenn Simpson's testimony to the Senate Judiciary Committee. Joshua Levy, a former lawyer for Fusion GPS, testified that someone died as a result of the dossier. Levy did not name the individual according to the transcript. The release of the transcript, Feinstein said, was supported by committee Democrats. According to a word search, the name Trump appeared 171 times in the transcript. Putin, 19 times. Well, that's collusion. I mean, based off of something. Yeah.
Governing by word cloud. Jacob Fry would love it.
Simpson touches on a wide array of topics, including Trump's business ties, his tax history, and a connection to Felix Sauter, who is alleged to have links to the Russian organized crime. Okay, so we've got to back up here real quick, just a few things of note. So you have Joshua Levy. He is the lawyer for Fusion GPS. Okay, you have the Fusion GPS co-founder, Glenn Simpson, okay, his testimony. And then you've got this individual, Felix Sauter, who is alleged, right? Is alleged to have links to a Russian crime organization. Here are some of the highlights. Okay, now that you have the players. So Steele, Simpson testified, told the FBI, also had a source inside the Trump operation, although he wasn't sure whether that meant the presidential campaign or the Trump organization.
Okay, so the FBI had a source inside the Trump operation.
Now, what's interesting about
that? We don't know specifically what that means.
Right. NBC News' Dan Delanian later tweeted that the supposed walk-in source was a mischaracterization by Simpson of the Australian diplomat tip about Papadopoulos. So, subsequently, because this is about 2 days old since this Fusion GPS dossier came out, courtesy of Feinstein, that's actually been discredited now. Apparently, they're now saying there was no inside source. So, even that part of this particular thing has been thrown to the side. Okay. Simpson touched on how the Trump organization handles paying taxes. These are the highlights. One of the things we found out was, you know, when it comes to paying taxes, Donald Trump claims to not have much stuff, at least the Trump organization. So they would make filings with various state and local authorities saying that their buildings weren't worth much.
Yeah, that's what businesses do.
It's what everybody does.
Try to minimize their tax burden by as many legal means as possible.
651-989-5855. There's just a few more in here, a few more highlights from this Fusion GPS Trump Russia dossier that we'll dive into. And we'll tell you what the first major test of the new St. Paul mayor is going to be. It's actually occurring right now.
You're listening.
Stop by your local Twin Cities Circle K store for your chance to text to win $3,000 cash for your big game party fueled by Circle K. Head to TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com, keyword Circle K, for more info. Everybody is ready for everybody
to get out. Justice and Drew, along with Sam, we'll get back to the highlights. You want to call them that from this Fusion GPS. the transcript that was released, some 300 plus pages. Quick question. I get notifications for, you know, concerts that I've been to, so the ticket outlets and all those send notifications of upcoming concerts and all that kind of stuff. There's a Game of Thrones tour What does that entail? Yeah. Just an orchestra playing the music?
Oh, and then yeah.
A bunch of people get killed and do stuff on stage? What is it?
Well, I don't know if there's a stage production element. The one that I'm familiar
it's
with
just sacrifice people on stage.
It's an orchestra tour where they play
the Game of Thrones
themes.
Yeah.
And, you know, music from the score. For the show. I've seen that before. That would
okay.
be kind of cool.
That must be what it is.
I don't know if they act anything out like in any sort of stage production.
It's not like a Game of Thrones.
Like Game of Thrones on ice.
Yeah, it's not Game of Thrones Campade. I'm a big fan of the Campades. It's not a Thrones Campade.
Here come the white skaters.
Why you gotta make it racial?
It's just the white walkers. That's a thing that this is zombies.
Geez. That actually brings up an interesting point. Why doesn't Game of Thrones ever get any grief for being racist with their White Walkers?
Oh, I'm sure they have. I'm sure you don't have to look too far.
No, it's okay
the
that
internet.
They're bad. They're White Walkers. That's totally fine. Look at me not getting all racial.
Yeah, I'm sure you don't have to go far to find some social justice warrior who's got a lot of problems. Who can list off a whole Tumblr blog of why Game of Thrones is problematic.
If either of you guys ever wanted another example of how much I value our friendship, I found, the Songify, well, the auto-tune stuff, and some of those are funny. I found a Game of Thrones one yesterday based off of Jon Snow, and I was like, ooh, this will be great. I'll send it, you know, to Drew and to Sam, and, you know, they'll get it, and they'll laugh, and they'll like it, and all that. And then I previewed it first. Yeah, it was bad. I didn't send it. I'm just letting you guys know. I didn't subject you to bad entertainment.
Thanks,
That's how much I care about it. I got your back. I'm not going to waste your time. I'll just waste the audience time telling the stupid story. Full transcript of the Fusion GPS dossier. Some of the highlights. All right. So where are we at? Oh, here we go. So again, the players in this, you've got the co-founder, Glenn Simpson, Joshua Levy, a lawyer for Fusion GPS, and then the other person of note is Felix Sauter, who was alleged to have links to the Russian organized crime. All right, so Simpson discussed Trump's relationship with Sauter. This is the guy allegedly to have links to Russian organized crime. This was something he didn't want to talk about and testified under oath that he wouldn't know Felix if he ran into him on the street. That was not true. He knew him well and, in fact, continued to associate with him long after he learned of Felix's organized crime ties. So, you know, that tells you something about somebody.
What?
Right. It tells you something about somebody that somebody said that I wasn't familiar with him, but apparently he was familiar with the guy who was alleged to have ties to the Russian crime organization.
So, is he saying that that's a character judgment that you can make?
Right.
On that person.
Right.
Okay.
Fusion GPS.
This is heavy stuff, man.
It's not at all.
You're right. Trump's going down.
Between this and Fire and Fury.
Right.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Fusion Jeep and whatever somebody's holding off to the side that has the evidence of Russia collusion that they're just waiting to release. Fusion GPS, Joshua Levy claimed that somebody died as a result of the dossier. Somebody's already has been killed as a result of the publication of this dossier, and no harm should come to anybody related to his honest work.
Okay, see, that seems to me, and that's the thing that made the most headlines out of this, right? That little cryptic message. If you know that, and you're not cooperating with authorities to bring whoever killed somebody to justice over this work, you're an awful human being.
Right, right.
I mean, you can't just throw out a cryptic message like that in government testimony and not have some sort of follow-up. If people are being murdered, that's why I don't give this any credibility.
No.
I think he just made that up.
Well, and the fact that there's no specificity, which opens up like just all the possibilities whatsoever. For all we know, the person that died as a result of this dossier did so out of boredom. Based off the 300 pages, and these are the highlights. And just and then Simpson said he's only been care of the hook, and then just passed out and died. All right, getting to the next.
I don't think that's what he meant.
Okay, well, but you won't know because there's no specificity.
Right. You don't just throw out somebody died. That's the type of thing people like that habitual serial liars say at a cocktail party in order to seem cooler than they actually are.
The last few
killed a man with my hands once
are so boring they're actually funny. So Fusion GPS did not did not secure full access to Trump's tax returns. Simpson said they were Trump properties. They were Trump properties, and I believe we have reviewed some public information about real estate taxes and things like that. We didn't have access to his tax returns. Okay, so he didn't have access to his tax returns.
Mm-hmm.
Simpson said he only became aware of the infamous Trump Tower meeting between Donald Trump Jr. and the Russian lawyer when it was reported in the New York Times. I was stunned. So he was shocked. Okay. Just like a lot of people acted. Simpson had no factual reason to believe the Trump Tower meeting was a Russian attempt to make contact with the Trump campaign. But, you know, as he's quoted here saying, you know, as sort of a question of counterintelligence and just general investigation of Russian methods and that sort of thing, I think that's a reasonable interpretation. So I just, maybe.
Right.
Shoulder shrug pops up, head tilt emoji. Perhaps. Fusion GPS concluded that Trump exaggerated his property's worth in legal filings.
Oh, my goodness.
But that did not indicate or show connections with Russia, not that I recall.
Oh, he exaggerated his property's worth?
That is shocking.
Donald Trump exaggerating?
He never exaggerates anything.
I'm shocked.
I'm always annoyed at his lack of use of exclamation points. Simpson also said that Trump's country clubs aren't making any money.
No.
They weren't profitable entities. I don't specifically recall. I just remember that these were not doing very well, and they sunk a lot of money into them, and they hadn't gotten a lot of money back yet.
The only reason this transcript got released by Feinstein is to keep the Russia story in the news, is to keep the Russia story in the headlines, because this investigation is going nowhere. The only thing that's going to come out of this is you're going to maybe find some people who engaged in some tax evasion.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
You might get some money laundering, you might get some tax evasion. That's about it. There's no Russia collusion. You're not going to find any. You can't point to any. There's no evidence. And this investigation is withering on the vine, and Democrats desperately want to keep it in the news. That's why they keep saying, you keep seeing the headline of like Russia or Republicans are trying to distract you from the Russian investigation. No, they're not. You're just saying that so that you can keep the words Russia investigation in the headlines.
Right.
Republicans are just doing their job.
And this, what we just went through, was apparently what allegedly started the whole Russian narrative to begin with.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And there's nothing, there wasn't anything. His country clubs were making money.
But what's that got to do with Russia?
Yeah, some guy may have died of boredom. I don't know, but we don't know. All right, let's go here in the time we have left. This comes out of the Pioneer Press. Again, as we talk about the weather, be careful as you're out driving around. It is there's some snow falling. It's slick and slippery and frozen outside.
Nasty.
With the new mayoral St. Paul administration taking particular interest, St. Paul's public works supervisors are gearing up for a complex slate of weather conditions that will hit the city over the next couple of days. This came out yesterday afternoon. As of yesterday afternoon, the National Weather Service was predicting only a couple of inches of snow from a storm set to hit the region through today. But they also predicted temperatures would fall quickly below zero tonight, creating the specter of icy roads, and added that rain could hit beforehand, which it did. That last detail, the rain, makes things difficult. It sinks any possibility of pre-treating streets with a solution that makes the tackling such storms a whole lot easier, according to the division manager of the city's street maintenance program. So the headline of the article is New St. Paul mayor faces first winter storm test, and it's a tricky one. See, this is the kind of stuff that mayors should have to be dealing with.
Right. This is their job.
Right.
This is what city government exists for. Yeah.
By the time that 7:30 a.m. rolls around today, the city will have 52 drivers scheduled, compared with a typical winter day contingent of 35 to address the shifting forecast. Should the forecast hold up, drivers will likely hit every street with a low temp treated salt, according to the guy that works for the Public Works Department. So the director touted her department's new system of preparing for such storms to cope with the sudden change in forecasts. Rather than sticking with the plan determined days beforehand, the debates are always about staffing, whether to bring people in earlier, how to salt the streets, or whether days of below freezing temps should make salting such an effort. Should a snow emergency be declared, Mayor Melvin Carter plans to visit the Public Works Department main Dale Street garage today as plow drivers prepare their routes. Now, is he surprised that this is a part of the gig? I thought
so
that
what's this got to do with the national anthem?
I thought that I was only elected for social justice warrior issues. Yeah. I was unaware that that road maintenance during weather conditions was going to be a part of this part of this gig.
This is their job. This is the main thing they should be focused on is getting the city through storms like this, making sure that the roads are clear, that the trash is picked up on time. That's what we want out of city government, not fixing the national anthem.
See, he should have been paying attention to Jacob Fry when he was riding on the back of that dump truck for the first day that he was.
I wonder if Jacob Fry's actually out salting streets today.
I've always wanted to drive one of these. It's like fun.
He does. He seems like the guy that wants to sit back on the ladder truck and steer it. Can I be that guy, please? I want to slide down the pole. All right. One more. Just enough time to squeak this in. Out of the Daily Mail, Robert De Niro. I have become such an unfan of him in his later years. Because he's turned into one of these just old codger, just grumpy curmudgeon, yeah. And his movies aren't very good anymore, and he's doing stupid comedies. And I used to have a lot of, just on an actor level,
he was a great actor. He was a fantastic actor, you know, but I think he spent so much of his career playing a certain style of person.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
And now, he thinks he is that.
We need that study to show the adverse effects of years of pretending to be other people. And
right.
They end up becoming those people. Robert De Niro called the...
He thinks he's the dad from Meet the Parents.
Called President Trump a blanking fool and a foul-mouthed rant as he presented Meryl Streep with the Best Actress Award earlier this week. Introducing Streep to the National Board of Review annual awards gala in New York, which is not broadcast on TV, De Niro took the time to call the president a blanking idiot and compare his presidency to the fairy tale of the Emperor's New Clothes.
But how did that come up?
He just it didn't. Yeah, he was like, hey, I got a stage and a microphone. I'm going to go off on a rant.
Trump's bad.
He called Trump the baby in chief, the jerk off in chief. While discussing Streep's new film, The Post. Meanwhile, the producer of The Post is like, whoa.
It's like, come on, dude.
That's not good promotion for our film.
Right. That's the part of all of this that I do not. I understand, but I don't understand, right? With the gold, and I know the Golden Globes, sort of in retrospect with the Golden Globes, I wasn't fully aware that was supposed, it's not tongue-in-cheek, but that's more of a party than it is anything else. So I suppose it's more conducive to doing the protesting that took place. I do think it's a precursor to what we're going to end up seeing with the Oscars. But just how do they not understand that they are taking away from the very thing that they do for a living, and that doesn't help them. This makes me not want to, and I'm not that kind of person, but this makes me not want to bother watching a Robert De Niro film because he annoys
certain,
me.
Yeah, like I've generally been able to sort of separate the person from the art, right? You know, if somebody is politically active or speaks out and says things that I don't necessarily agree with, I may still enjoy their work, but it does get to a point when you make yourself, when you come off as such a jerk that it becomes impossible. And Robert De Niro is certainly getting to that point.
Here's a really good example. And then I know that this is incredibly petty, and I'll probably end up seeing it. But the Steven Spielberg movie, The Post, right? Mm-hmm. About the Pentagon Papers and Vietnam and all that. And Meryl Streep and Tom Hanks. Steven Spielberg. I'm not a big Streep fan, but I like Tom Hanks. Looks like a really, really fascinating movie. Okay. And the trailers look really good, and I like those types of films. It reminds me of the one about the Catholic Church that came out recently. I forgot the name of that one, but Spotlight. The one about the mortgages that came out as well.
Big Short.
But I'm blanking on all these movies. Thank you. I'm so glad you're here. But
now you're glad I'm here.
I'm always glad you're here. I heart you.
I'm 50-50 right now.
But
I feel the same for you.
Every time someone brings The Post up and how great it is, they always go, yeah, it's really good. It's one of Steven Spielberg's best movie in a lot of years. Oscar contender, worthy performances, great acting, compelling, and so important during these times in D.C. And every time they say that, I go, you're making me not want to watch this really good movie.
Yep, exactly.
Exactly. It just annoys me.
When you've got the sanctimonious, self-righteous press all patting themselves on the back, this is why we're here. This is, we did this one thing that one time a long time ago, so now you have to value every piece of crap we put out. No. Just like everything else, you have to keep justifying your existence.
Yeah.
You don't get a pass because you did it, because somebody else who happened to work for you 30 years ago did something really great. You don't get a pass for that now. That doesn't justify your continued existence and what you have become since then.
And the reality is, that is a movie that I may have gone to see in the theaters, but because I got so annoyed, I'm like, oh, you know what? I'll just wait and watch it. I mean, I'll probably watch it at home.
Yeah, I absolutely will. The problem I have with these movies is they're so over-dramatized. I'd rather watch a documentary about that.
True.
You know, when you're going to take something that actually happened, just give me the documentary. Don't give me the over-dramatized Tom Hanks version.
You know, I hear the script leaked. Maybe Sam can act it out for us.
Ooh, maybe that'll do that on tomorrow's show.
And dramatize it for us? Get them? And do a reading?
No? Sure. You know, for you two, anything.
Aw. Friday Roundtable in tomorrow. Representative Nick Zerwas, comedian Brian Miller. Be careful out there on the roads today. Also, we're going to catch in with Tom Ember tomorrow and have the parody song contest today, 35. Open up the door. I don't give me integration, give me true communication. I don't give me sorrow. I won't eat. I'm Chris Addison. Here's